collecting emails, and I was really able to build, you know, within a matter of like 6 months, a 50,000 person email list. And then, you know, 6 months after that, another 25,000 people. And then a year after that, another 100,000 people. And it just kept building and building. And every time I had... Hey gang, Kevin Godfrey here, your host for tonight's episode of Estate Sold Podcast Edition. And tonight I'm going to be going over my big three takeaways when I first started doing online estate sales. Now, whenever I do a business or I do this for a client, I like to get into the weeds a little bit and then after a while, after a certain amount of time, take a step back and reflect on the good, the bad, and how to fix the bad. And that is really what I want to focus on tonight. And it will hopefully save you a lot of time, a lot of grief, and a lot of headaches if I can sort of push you along and push you through the weeds and give you a shortcut to all of those people right now going into the online estate sale business. Now, one of the best things that I found when I first got into, you know, doing online estate sales a couple of years ago was that I was able to attract a massive, massive audience, right? When we do our traditional on-site sales, we're used to using, let's say, AuctionZip or .net or .org or YardSale or one of our standard sites, right? We can see the metrics on some of them that say, you know, for a 2 week advertising period, you see 4,000 people looked at the sale. Oh, wow. You know, that's great. That's a great number. Now, we know, of course, that, you know, maybe 10% of those people are actually in our 20 mile radius. And out of that 10%, maybe 10% are the people that are actually going to show up on a Saturday morning and wait online and come through the door and actually buy something. So those numbers aren't really that great, you know, to be honest. Once I started advertising for the online sale, I was seeing that number daily, plus 4,000, 5,000, up to 8,000 people a day were clicking on my sales. And I said, wow, you know, and once I combined and started to really figure out and tweak my Facebook ad spend and other social media ad spends that I was using, you know, I was seeing 100,000 clicks for like $50, $75 over a period of a week or two. And it's amazing the online business that you can create for so inexpensively once you start to, you know, not dip your toe in the water and basically just embrace it. You know, so I was amazed at it. And then I started to add landing pages and I was collecting emails and I was really able to build, you know, within a matter of like 6 months, a 50,000 person email list. And then, you know, 6 months after that, another 25,000 people. And then a year after that, another 100,000 people. And it just kept building and building. And every time I had a sale, I was able to advertise to those 200,000 people with just an email. I mean, that is a powerful and most importantly, free business model. Okay. You cannot get that kind of power anywhere else. It's amazing. That is the best aspect of this. Now, on the flip side of that, the bad part of that is what I found was that the wider I cast my net, the more flakes I found, the more people that bid, that never paid, that never picked up, that, you know, their credit cards would automatically get charged, for example, or they would, and then they would dispute it, or I would ship them the item and they would dispute it and get to keep the item. You know, a lot of these platforms, they don't protect the sellers, they only protect the buyers. And I was eating a lot of costs and it became a real headache. All right. Now that was the problem that I found is that the farther I went and the bigger I grew, the more headaches I found with not being able to control my customer base. So when I tried to sit down and figure out how to fix that, I decided to just basically pull back, not necessarily pull back my audience, but I pulled back the broadness of the audience. So I still wanted to reach the same quantity of people, but I did it more in niches, you know? So if I was selling lamps, I would focus people in that liked, you know, lighting or antique lighting or all of these different chandeliers, right? I would use social media, I would use Facebook to create very niche targeted markets, and I would build out these massive campaigns in order to reach these niche markets. But when you started to stack them on top of each other, they became just as large as what I was stacking by typing in, you know, New York, for example. But because I was getting a better quality of people, I was finding much less headache, I was getting less returns, and I was getting better engagement, better relevancy scores, which then Facebook, again, rewarded me with lower ad spend. Now, I talk about in videos and in my long-form posts, all of this stuff now, like it's second nature. But years and years ago when I started all of this, this was a lesson. This took me tens and tens of thousands of dollars. This took me many headaches. This took me many sit downs with clients having to explain to them why they are looking at a report from an item that sold for $400 that I had to repost on another auction that had only then sold for $150 because the first guy did not pay. And then I had to try to track down the second highest bidder and they didn't want it. And then the third highest bidder and then they didn't want it. And then I had to repost it. And for whatever reason, it sold for, you know, $250 less. It took a lot of time to figure this out. So my advice to you when you are going out into this world is do not go into these broad markets with your initial advertising. Stay close to home. Go 40 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles, okay? Don't necessarily go into super broad targeted markets, rather, because I don't want you to go too deep into the Facebook, you know, niche marketing campaign, ad sets, audiences yet, unless you're in our group where I really go deep dive into a lot of videos on how to do that because I don't want you to mess it up. But I want you to basically put the address in of where the sale is going to be. It won't show where the address is going to be. Don't worry. But I want you to just basically go, you know, 40 miles out, 50 miles out. So you're going to be getting a massive audience. And when you're targeting an audience that's close to you, you're still targeting people that aren't necessarily going to screw you over because, you know, if you put in like Long Island, for example, people know that like you're close to them. So they might be a little bit more hesitant to screw you over. But if I'm putting a sale in Long Island and I'm advertising in Los Angeles, they might say, oh, screw this guy. You know, they're never going to find me. So that's really what I want you to take away from this. Start small. Don't think that you have to hit home runs right off the bat. And as you get more sales, as you get more confidence, as you build that customer base, then you can start taking those baby steps further and further into a new market. All right. So, and that's it. That's this episode. I like to keep these nice and short little tidbits of information to help you grow your online estate sale business. Next episode, I am going to be going over why people aren't bidding or buying and what you can do to fix that. All right. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining me on Estate Sold Podcast Edition. I hopefully will see you on the next one. Thanks, everybody.